Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.
That's Smiley Kaufman for 61. Wow.
I'm Smiley Kaufman, and this is The Smiley Show.
Welcome back to The Smiley Show, where, Smiley, we are recording this actually just a night after the last episode we did together in the wake of the Hero World Challenge, the thrilling finish of the Crown Australian Open. We had Erasmus Nygaard Pedersen join the show to break down that win, what he loves so much about Royal Melbourne. We're doing some traveling in the next couple of days and weeks. In fact, I'm going to see our guy, Dew Sweeper, briefly down in Florida.
I've seen him next week too, so make sure you pass along the good vibes and the good intel to where I can come away with some good feels.
What are you taking down? What's on your checklist of things to work on?
I can't remember what we worked on the last lesson. That's the problem. I actually need to go back and watch our YouTube video we did with him, because I remember the last time I happened to watch it, I'm like, oh, I should just do that, whatever we were working on. Dude, I honestly have gotten to the point now with my golf game this time of the year that I'm better off just not even touching a golf club, because I'm as soon as I start thinking about it, then I'm like, ooh, I want to go hit balls and go play golf. When in reality, it's just not going to go well. It's going to be cold. I'm not going to be necessarily flushing out of the middle. And if I am, it's like, all right, there's going to be good shots, bad shots. It's much more of an exercise at this time of the year.
Yeah. I agreed on conditions. We're both in dormant Bermuda territory for the most part. It's strange, because even at the end of that video with Tony, I was like, we had something going there. And then I immediately either abandoned it or forgot it. I had this phenomenon recently where I was just scrolling through all of my entire library of photos from the top. And it's amazing tracking your golf swing, where like every fifth video, I was like, God, I used to swing it so good. That's such a good position. And then like the other four, I look like it's the first time I ever played the game of golf. And I need to just string together just that 20% across the 12 to 15 year timeline that my iPhone library goes back, and just figure out how to recapture that. But maybe Tony will have some hot.
I love doing that on an airplane. It's just going back and looking at videos from, I go back all the way to 2016, and I'll just start from there, and then I'll just kind of go year to year, be like, oh, I could see why, or even at times I'll say, gosh, I should have played better with this golf swing. Like, it was actually pretty good. And then I'll get to another year, I'm like, I don't know how I kept playing the game with this swing.
You're like, why didn't I just delete this video immediately? Like, what is this still doing on my phone? I didn't need to ever see that swing ever again.
it's wild, because I went through a lot of different swing teachers and theories and how to swing the golf club. There was times where I'm like, man, I probably should have hit it a lot better than I did, because this swing's pretty dang good. So I had mixed. I get mixed feelings when I go back and look.
We're going to have some, I'll see if he can't get some video of both of us. We can share the results on the show. I think he's gearing up for the Jingle Bell. Is this Jingle Bell season?
Last season for it. God, last one ever.
So sad to see it go. But good run it had. So where we do need to go, where we do need to go on this show is just a few extra things we were not able to cover as part of that recap of the hero of the Australian Open. Had a lot to talk about there, performance wise, player wise. But there have been a lot of other storylines in the world of pro golf these past couple weeks that are happening off the course, so to speak, but they have a huge impact on the shape of pro golf that we're going to see in the future. And really, I think the biggest one at this point is we saw Tiger Woods, while not playing the Hero World Challenge, as the tournament host, sitting up on that podium in his yearly press conference he has, and talking about this year specifically his place on the future competition committee. And so, Smiley, we live in the age of ChatGPT AI. I'm a pretty transparent producer, researcher here on the Smiley Show. And here's what I did is I took all of Tiger's answers on this specific topic, fed them to the ChatGPT, and said, look, I just want you to boil this down for me so we have some easy talking points. What has this competition committee already done or is in progress, and what is Tiger committing this committee will do in the future? I think that's a good starting point for us to delve into this conversation. So they have already held three meetings for the future competition committee. They've evaluated, in Tiger's quote, so many different models and torn them down, looked at other alternatives. They've consulted a number of different stakeholders in this process, title sponsors, CMOs, CEOs, tournament directors, media partners, trying to gather from all of those groups what they want to see in this new and improved PGA Tour.
Okay, so quick question as you keep going. So private equity was not mentioned in that? Like, was SSG mentioned in that whole little ChatGPT rundown there? Because I'd be curious, you know, that's where a lot of people's minds would go as you kind of further on in this discussion with the future of the tour. Is what does private equity want out of this? Like, where do they want to see it go?
I would assume strongly that whether or not they were named the private equity, the SSG was one of the stakeholders involved. In fact,
See Utah is getting involved with private equity, like the university? Did you read that today?
Oh, you're talking about like private equity groups, you know, essentially underwriting university athletic programs.
Yes,
that's been the worst for years, dude. And it's just now coming to fruition.
Hate that.
Are you? I mean, this is a real tangent off of where we are in golf, but I just.
Or we could be heading that way.
But I am not for this. This is the first year of college football. Maybe it had to do with my head coach and the surrounding things. My head coach, the University of North Carolina. But this is the first year where I was like, I'm losing some of the joy here. Like they're starting to, I don't know. I don't want to be one of these old curmudgeon guys that, oh, you know, NIL and the portal and everything, but it's not what it was.
Magic's just slowly kind of getting dumped out in it.
Yeah. And you got Lane Kiffin coming your way. You got the Magic coming to town.
I'm excited. I mean, I'm excited, but still there's a lot of college football that I hate. That's not nearly the same as what it used to be. But I don't mind that schools that have never been competitive that are good, like Vanderbilt's really good at football now.
Yeah.
And like rewiring my brain to see teams that haven't been good be good is weird. But I totally got you off of sidetracked here. Please continue. Sorry. <That's
right. laughs> Back to the ChatGPT generated summary of Tiger Woods' commitments on that future competition committee. So I think maybe the biggest part of what he said to me that departs from what we've seen in the past on similar discussions was he's kept players informed about possible changes and solicited player opinions. I know that was a big thing of some of the potential shifts and partnerships that the tours were looking into in the past few years that players felt like they didn't have enough input. So that's been a key part of the future competition committee process and Tiger's process. And then, of course, he said he's committed to transparency throughout the process. Shall I stop there, Smiley, or do you want me to kind of start rolling into the things that the future competition committee has planned?
Why don't you go that way? Because then I'll have some thoughts off of that.
So the goal is to assemble a reduced fan-first schedule and product that maximizes quality and economic upside. The targeted introduction is 2027, but they're working actively with partners to make sure that's a feasible timeline. They're working on a rollout approach, and the two different proposed are either ripping the Band-Aid off with a full change, a newly revamped schedule. We heard Harris English talking a little bit about this that led up to Tigers Comments, 20 to 22 events for the entire season. So that'd be a full reset into that model, or a kind of stage change over a number of seasons and years. They would be looking to optimize the calendar timing, and one of those options is to start the season after the Super Bowl so as to not compete with football on the TV calendar, and then define the sort of start and finish windows for these tournaments and set these tentpole events throughout the year to maximize viewership and fan engagement. There's another goal to simplify the FedEx Cup point structure, because that's been obviously difficult in past iterations to follow on a week-to-week basis. There's also a goal, as noted with those 20 to 22 events, to implement a level of scarcity, fewer of these events, so there should be more demand to watch those events when they are on. And then creating additional playing opportunities. This is a big one, right? Because with less events, there are less of those playing opportunities. Creating more of those other parts of the golf calendar, whether that's other places around the world, whether that's, you know, in a fall part of the calendar on a tour that's completely separate or different from the PGA Tour. So the scarcity at the top is not limiting those overall opportunities. So that is the summary, the rundown of what Tiger had to say at the Hero. And Smiley, I wonder how you reflect on both what he said and just some of the rumblings and things you've heard from players, people in the know on tour the past couple weeks as to the direction that we are going with this.
It's like out with the old and in with the new. I mean, this has all the makings of what we've kind of heard rumored for a long time, which is going to a much tighter schedule throughout the year, 20 to 25 events instead of this 8 signature event model, going to something that's more the 20 to 25, which is every event being worth the same amount, whether that's money or points. There's not this just weird sliding scale of signature events being worth more than another PGA Tour event, which has always been kind of weird to kind of weight the difference between like or unlike events, or less players or more players, 144 versus 70 players. So I think what Rolap has figured out is that the PGA Tour, as he looks at it in a whole, is that there's different levels to it. It's always been that way. And I think he wants to get to where the PGA Tour is a much more condensed schedule, doesn't compete with football. And I think you can make arguments on that. I think some players might disagree about, hey, we don't really care about the ratings in January. We like playing in Hawaii. You know, there's players that like to play a lot at the beginning of the year, and there's players that like to play a lot because they like to make money, because that's their way of making money. It's when they tee it up and make cuts. So I think you'll see a lot of disagreements from players in regards to that. But when we look at the future of the PGA Tour, there's things that I do agree with this. I do think that sometimes it gets like week after week after week, and you're just like, oh man, this week's got no juice. It doesn't have a good field. And I think they would be kind of cool where every single time you turn on an event for a PGA Tour event, man, it's like, oh gosh, who's playing good this week? And you know all the names. And and I'm not saying that because I do believe that a guy like Michael Brennan should be able to play his way onto a tour, and it shouldn't take him 4 years to do it. You know, so I do believe in, you know, relegation and being able to get players to go up and down. And I don't want it to be a closed shop, because I don't believe in it, because I was rewarded the opportunity with the old system and that I got to reap the benefits of moving up quickly and finding my way into some of the best events. So I don't want that to go away. But I do believe that the PGA Tour has, I should say, where they go and play problem. I think the markets sometimes are too small, and there's nothing wrong with some of these small markets that we play in. There's so much history in these places, and they're well supported. But the purses typically in these places are not, they've changed a little bit. They're not crazy good. Doesn't mean it's not a lot of money for these guys to play for. And I love these places, but I don't see that they might have a seat at the table in a future PGA Tour signature event model. I think going to places that are big, big markets that we currently aren't, I think is going to be something that Rolap looks at. But I do believe that 27 is doing this in 2027. There's a lot of things that are going to have to happen. And that's not from, like, the PGA Tour could approve all this, and they might be able to find the sponsors. But I have a question on the networks. I really do, because these networks have deals that have changed. Just think about all the since they did this deal, we've had a new tour come about in LIV Golf Tour. So we're talking about the PGA Tour rights deal with the networks. And in a lot of these deals, I'm not saying I'm a lawyer, but I do know that there is something in these contracts that talks about having the best players in the world on the PGA Tour. And you could debate, it's like, hey, we don't have all the best players on the PGA Tour anymore because some of them are at the LIV Golf Tour. Are we getting our money back for not having all of the best players anymore? And so that's kind of gone by the wayside. I don't think it's quite as much of an issue as it has been because they've been able to keep Scottie Scheffler and the ratings are good, or they're good this year. They weren't the last year, but last year there was a lot of executives that probably were like, these red numbers that say 20% down, it's not good. We do not like this at all. Something has to change. And so I would say that learning about the TV business from just generally from agents and how they talk about it, networks are in it for volume and they want live golf on. And so going to a 20 to 25 event model is not something that it's just going to be like, the networks are just going to be super stoked about it. It may help their ratings like every other week, but networks like volume and they want people to be programmed to go and turn on the TV on a Sunday and know that the PGA Tour is on. So recalibrating the viewer's mind and then not having live golf or live sports on is something that they desperately want to have. So it's what every network is trying to get into in the sports game, is having the rights to show live sports. So I know that's kind of a lump sum of kind of everything that I'm feeling and vibing with. There's kind of some good, there's some bad, but what do you take from all that?
Well, it's a lot to unpack, and it is kind of funny just in reflecting on the tangent we took in the middle of the tee up towards college football, but how there are some connections to what's happening here, what's happening to college football, in the sense that the tour, a lot of what the tour has become over time, there are a lot of these idiosyncrasies that don't necessarily lend to the strongest, you know, most sellable television product or the formatting of events and field entries that make the most sense. But there's this sort of quirky charm about that that's made the tour what the tour is, you know, for a number of years, Monday qualifiers, things like that. And we're
giving back to the communities and charity dollars.
That's right.
Like that used to be the forefront of the PGA Tour.
It's the whole, you know, the economic thing in which it ran on is a nonprofit.
It's nonprofit, right?
And now even that's changing with the introduction of the SSG and the formation of PGA Tour Enterprises. But like even looking at college football now, where they've been so hard after this playoff structure and the television dollars that are associated with that, that they've killed this quirky, lovable thing about it, bowl games. Like you have Notre Dame opting out of a bowl game alongside a number of other teams, and people, you know, now there's a whole slew of 5 and 7 teams that are playing bowl games that nobody cares about. And you're looking at this whole thing and saying, how long can this really exist before the whole thing comes crashing down? And I think the PGA Tour, it's interesting. It's a very different proposition for Brian Rolapp than where he's come from with the NFL, where if you have an idea that's going to improve the value of the overall product and you know, as a trickle down effect of that, franchise value, all these sorts of things, the ways that the owners who own these franchises are making money, if you could put together a compelling business plan and get all 32 of those guys in the room and sell them on that, then it doesn't really matter what the players think or the fans think to a certain degree. You just say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is the way we're shifting and changing. Whereas Brian Rolapp sitting across the table in some of these meetings with Tiger Woods, who was vocal about feeling burned the last time, you know, the whole initial PGA Tour LIV merger, when that whole thing came out and the players felt like they were betrayed, then they didn't know what was going on there, whether or not that was exactly what was happening. That's how the players felt. And so now you have this thing where Tiger's saying here at the Hero, one of the most important things is soliciting player input. And because the structure is different, and they are, you know, independent contractors, whatever that means in today's day and age, and they do have this sort of voice in how this thing's shaped, it's going to be very interesting to see what can be driven through. And that's just, to your point, that's just the player side. When you get to the broadcasting side, I don't know. I mean, it sounds like Brian Rolapp is a really, really intelligent guy with a lot of really applicable experience in, in improving value of product at the NFL. And I think that he could do a lot to change that. But it's going to take – I don't know how he's going to take whatever plan he's putting together and say, hey, if we have – however many less events, you know, 20%, 30%, 40% less events than you had broadcasting, that we're going to make them so much better and so much more desirable from a viewer standpoint that you're going to make up all the money you would have lost by not having those events on TV. That's just going to be, I don't know how you get there. And I honestly, I think that that takes years of people adjusting to the new system and buying into the whole idea of scarcity before people really respond to it. And the final point I make on that too is that I think the problem the PGA Tour has is they don't own the four most important events on the calendar, or really the five you want to extend out to the Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
it's just hard. I mean, you're selling against what? Like the Players Championship and the hope that you can make these other tentpole events with the scarcity – things that people care about close to that major level.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Did you know that over 80% of companies in America, each generating more than $100 million in revenue, don't show up on public stock exchanges? They're private and are largely not an option for 401k investors. But now there's a chance for everyday American savers to opt in for access through the 401k plan if they choose to. Regardless of how you're building for the future, you deserve the same opportunities, because you've earned the right to more. Learn more by visiting retiresafer.org. Paid for by the Council for a Safe and Secure Retirement.
You know, and I, if you could do it, amazing. It's going to be hard to.
I always worry about the stories, the storylines, and losing the traditional fans that got into watching the PGA Tour in the first place, which is the potential of seeing David versus Goliath. It's like, oh, who's this guy? Where is he from? He just got his card. Who is he? And he's going up against Tiger Woods? Or, you know, like, those are the stories that you're going to miss out on potentially in a format like this. And I think it's a gamble that potentially you could lose traditional fans who've watched the PGA Tour since they were young, and now it's like, okay, it's the same guys every week. Is this too boring? Or are you into potentially new markets, new golf courses, different way it's covered? So I see different sides of it, and I probably get the most concerned about player pathway to be able to get onto this tour to where there's enough good stories. But man, there's something really cool about Monday qualifying and just being able to go from playing on in Galveston, Texas, and on the mini tours to all of a sudden you're playing in New York for a PGA Tour event for $2 million. Like, that's a legitimate story that people care about. They want to see somebody's life get changed. If every week these guys are playing for millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars, and then you're like, okay, is this too much like Live, where it's closed shop, playing for a lot of money, and they don't quite care as much? I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just telling you, like, it's more that way than the old model, like, based off of this.
The one thing I will say in that regard, that if you take what – it's funny because we've been sitting here the past two winters, December to January, having the same discussion about – there need to be more of a delineation or a stratification between what the product you're selling. You know, if you're gonna have a platinum tour, have a platinum tour. If you're gonna have, you know, the gold, silver, bronze tour, tell us that's what it is. Don't try to sell us all these things of the PGA Tour when that's not what it is. So I find it interesting that we're having that discussion and then we're talking about broadcasters, and then we're looking at the way that Brian Rolapp sort of manipulated this chessboard over at the NFL. And I do think there is a potential positive in there. If you more clearly delineate what each of these competitions are, and so then if the creating player pathway tour is presented as such, that you could take that to a more modern broadcaster, not a traditional, not an NBC, not a CBS, but kind of like what Brian Rolapp did with Amazon, you know, Prime and the NFL Thursday Night Game. You find someone who's trying to kind of get into the media game, whoever that is, and say, hey, this is an opportunity for growth of we'll give you some freedoms in how you want to broadcast this golf. You know, it doesn't have to be tied to traditional television broadcasts, but here is this sort of feeder tour. And if you can do this in a compelling way, it can open you up to acquiring PGA Tour events in the future. And all of a sudden you get an invested broadcaster because they're going to go hard after the opportunity, and you're showcasing something that's, it may not be compelling from a household names perspective, but it's compelling from a competitive perspective because those are the guys who are fighting tooth and nail to earn their living on the biggest tour in the world.
So my last thought on all this is that I think that if you're on the PGA Tour Americas or the PGA Tour Canada, I don't think that you should be three tours away to the PGA Tour. And what I mean by that is, let's say you graduate from the Americas Tour and you finish top five on that money list to get a Korn Ferry Tour card. And then you get your Korn Ferry Tour card, you finish in the top 20, and now you're on to the PGA Tour B Tour, if, or whatever you want to call it, something below the highest level of the PGA Tour. And so now you're on this tour trying to get your way all the way up to the PGA Tour. So I just want to know, if are we just going to go from the 100 guys on the PGA Tour to a massive Korn Ferry Tour? I'm okay with that. And my only thing that I will say in this is that I hope that the Korn Ferry Tour then goes to, instead of purses that are for $1 million, $1.5 million, I want those purses to be around, you know, kind of when I was playing, somewhere around that $5, $6, $7 million purses, to where you can legitimately make a living playing this tour. And I think you're going to have guys that were in the top 100 on the PGA Tour drop out, and all of a sudden they're back to what the tour used to be, which is playing week after week after week, to where guys are playing to make money, but also to try to get back to playing on the PGA Tour. So that's my biggest question, is what happens to the tour below the PGA Tour? All the stuff at the top, I'm honestly a little less concerned with. I think you'll kind of figure it out as you go, but going to bigger markets, all that stuff's great. But I want to know what happens to the pathways, because I do think that in this, you don't want to lose sight of players being able to have an opportunity to make a living, because there's so many good players in the world that just need opportunities to make a living doing it. And I just don't want it to be restricted to only 100 dudes that can literally make a living in the States playing.
You mentioned LIV a few minutes ago and the role that LIV's played in really kind of shaking up this entire landscape, because it has. I mean, I don't think absent LIV, I don't think we're sitting here having this discussion right now, because I think the PGA Tour would have just been content. I mean, shoot, Jay Monahan might still be the commissioner if this was the case, because it just, hey, it's working. Let's keep it rolling. Let's see how long we can keep signing TV contracts at this value. But then LIV shows up and really is a disruptor in the space. And so these most recent reports from Josh Carpenter at Sports Business Journal are very intriguing about the expiry or the close to ending of some of these deals that originally signed with that first crop of PGA Tour stars who came over, namely Brooks Koepka. He's had sources tell him that Brooks it might not play the LIV Tour in 2026, and subsequently followed up with Scott O'Neill, the CEO of LIV Golf, who said, hey, he's under contract, which doesn't necessarily mean he's playing. He's just, he's under contract in 2026. This, Smiley, could be a very, very interesting shift in leverage, I would say, because we've heard reports too that while DJ's re-upped and is in, he's going to play in 26, that Bryson's currently in negotiations as well. And so I'm curious for a number of perspectives from your line of thought here is like, maybe first and foremost, if Brooks decides to not play golf on LIV in 2026, like what does the year look like for him? He of course will have exemptions via, you know, major champion status, you know, recently winning the PGA Championship, most recently winning the PGA Championship, five-time major winner. But what does a guy like a Brooks Koepka do if he just decides to sit out a year in 2026? And I assume that he does that to serve that year-long suspension and potentially re-enter the PGA Tour in 2027.
Well, I'm pretty certain that he resigned from the PGA Tour. So his status on the tour is, I'm pretty sure, gone. He's got to start all over. Now, he could probably get sponsors invites in the unrestricted category. He can do that on the DP World Tour as well, but he'll have to gain his status back, because that's, he would have been facing fines with the PGA Tour if he didn't resign, just how John Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton are dealing with that with the DP World Tour, as they kept their membership over there and are now owing $2+ million fines. By the way, when you just do the math, if you just want to guesstimate maybe on how much John Rahm signed for at the LIV Golf Tour, and you do all the math, you're like, okay, if Rahm really wants to play the Ryder Cup and he wants to play deep, wouldn't you just pay the fines at this point? What is $2 million to John Rahm? It's a lot of money. It's not a lot to joke around about. Like, I'm not telling you to give away $2 million, but let's say he has like 500 mil. Like, what's 2 million? Like, I mean, if you really care about,
because it's a 100,000 event, right? It's like, are you willing to pay $100,000 a week for OWGR points? Is kind of the question you're asking. He's right?
It's much more, you just got to keep he has to be a DP World Tour member to play in the Ryder Cup. And I think you have to play at four events. It's like, so every year you pay a $400,000 fine. I certainly think that he signed for enough money for him to be able to do that. Now, that math may be completely off for how much he owes in fines and stuff, but I know I kind of turned it over to John Rahm in this, but this,
and also I should mention there, I think there are tournament bans as well. Like, that's the other thing that they've been appealing. It's like, it's not just paying the fines. Like, then once the hammer comes down, you have to serve, for every LIV event you played, you're suspended that number of DP World Tour events, right? But no, I mean, I think it's so interesting. Like, if a guy like Brooks was to because you have to assume in some form or fashion, Brian Rolapp and Scott Neal have been having discussions as to, like, hey, if we're going to reformat what the PGA Tour looks like, if we're going to try to make, you know, use space in the off season to do something different or unique or perhaps more global. And if really the most important part for both those guys, if we're trying to sell against our tours in the TV space, how can we, you know, if we are going to collaborate, what does that look like and how do we deliver the most value on that? And if Brian Rolapp is looking across the table and seeing Scott O'Neill starting to lose his key chips, all of a sudden he has a lot more leverage. I just wonder what LIV Golf does, because obviously there's been reports that they're not paying these, that pretty much post John Rahm, they're no longer paying these big acquisition fees. They're no longer willing to.
It probably just depends on the guy, right? I think,
right.
Like
Scottie Scheffler could command a fee, right? Like, it wouldn't be hard for him to command a fee.
And same with like a guy like Rory, right? Like, these guys would command big right. fees, and they would probably pay
it. Like, Laurie Cantor probably didn't get any money to go back this year.
Probably not. Yeah. But I think the person that has all the leverage in the world is Bryson. I think he can make them pay whatever. Because he can.
Why wouldn't
he has all the leverage. There's if you want to believe that Bryson is re-signing to be on the LIV Golf Tour for no money, I got some good real estate in Iowa, some beachfront real estate in Iowa. If you want to go check it out,
yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I do think that it. I think where I end up on this is, it's been so interesting to just chart the sort of level of apathy we've reached towards LIV. Like, even this past year where they're going to 72 holes and we talk about it on the show, but it's just kind of like, do we really care about this anymore? Like, we've all kind of collectively in a lot of ways moved past this tour v tour debate. And so if LIV does start hemorrhaging guys back to the PGA Tour, if the tour ceases to exist, my hope would be that there is some sort of XFLification you know, in the same way that we pulled a lot of things the original XFL did and applied them to the NFL and made it a better product, that the tour would look at. And they already kind of have, in a lot of ways, some broadcast enhancements. But I do think that, you know, for all that we've said about LIV and poked fun at it here and there, there's some interesting stuff they've tried that if you are going to talk about a 20 to 22 event calendar that gives you a ton of space outside of that calendar to do unique stuff, like, let's try to do some unique stuff, you know, like, I hope that is one potential knock-on effect, you know, depending on what does happen with a guy like Brooks or Bryson.
Yeah, we'll see, right? I think Brooks going back to the PGA Tour would definitely obviously be a win, especially if you get a second half of his career that is anywhere close to what we witnessed for that stretch of runs where he was playing so well in major championships, really any big event. And I think this whole new 2027 tour that we're talking about is right up Brooks's alley. That's kind of what he doesn't like, playing in something that has no juice in it. Like, if he shows up and doesn't feel like he's going up against the best guys in the world, I think he's motivated by stiff competition. And not to say that LIV Golf doesn't have stiff competition, but I think he misses competing against the best players in the world week in and week out. And there's just a very small set of players that he gets to compete against every week. And it's a shocking for, I just think he's going to enjoy getting back to the PGA Tour at some point. Now the matter in which, the first guy that comes back, now you've set a precedent on how he has come back. So it'll be interesting to see what the PGA Tour does and how that kind of works within the bylaws of him resigning and him still having status with like winning the PGA Championship. I'm not sure how it all works, but you would think he would have to do some steps, and as a non-temporary member, maybe that's how he earns his points back, and then that's how he gets his status. So interesting to hear. A special temporary status is something I never thought I'd have to say with Brooks Koepka, but that's something we might have to see again.
Can you imagine Brooks just on a special temp, just trying to work his way back on the tour? It would be, there are a lot of different permutations, a lot of different potential outcomes here with these LIV guys. And I'm intrigued. That would bring some of the interest back into it for me. It's like, let's see how these guys work their way back on the PGA Tour. Smiley, we're still in off season mode. So I feel comfortable at this point in the show saying, I do not know what comes next in the show.
I will tell you who's coming next. So, as I am thinking about getting, I'm going to get an interview. And it's going to be with somebody to preview the Golf Channel games next week. So without further ado, we're throwing it to a person we don't know who it is yet. So see you on the other side. All right, guys, we promised you a special guest for the upcoming Golf Channel Games, which is happening next week down in South Florida. We have Steve Sands from the Golf Channel joining us today. And without further ado, let's send it up, Steve. All right, guys, welcome in Stevie Sands from the Golf Channel, New Versant Company. So, Stevie, we got quite an event coming up with the Golf Channel Games. Stevie, you're going to be play-by-play. Keith Mitchell, analyst for the week. We're also going to have myself down on the ground with facts. Wags is going to be out there. Pretty excited about the Golf Channel Games. I think the longer this thing has kind of gotten drawn out to where we kind of had some meetings, kind of know what's going on with the thing, I think it'd be cool. See, what are your thoughts?
I agree. I look, this time of year, Smiley, I think a lot of people have tried different things. There was a skins game, resurrecting that a couple of weeks ago over Thanksgiving, and we've seen matches before. I think this is a little bit of a competition with the best players in the world, like Scotty and Rory, and also a little big break, if you will, if you remember the going over a wall and that kind of thing. Maybe we'll have some broken glass and stuff like that, like the big break did. I think it's going to be cool, and I think it's fun to try different things this time of year, Smiley, and I'm excited to be with you. And by the way, the greatest thing that could happen of all is that it's just a little on the cool side so that Keith can wear a cashmere sweater. If it's too warm for cashmere, that wouldn't be good.
That's a good point. Have you had an opportunity to talk to Keith in advance of this Golf Channel Games? I mean, you know, it's different than live golf because, you know, it's potentially an entertainment aspect of this, and there's a chance that you guys might be doing some tap dancing. You don't really know because we haven't really done a ton of this either. We're so used to just live golf and what that presents every week. But have you had a chance to speak with him?
Oh, yeah. We've never done anything like this. I mean, I never have. And I've been doing this a long time. And I think it's going to be kind of fun. And I think it's going to showcase some personalities like yourself and Brad and Johnson Wagner. And I think Keith is excited about it. I mean, he's a current PGA Tour player. He's a very good player. He's won on the PGA Tour like yourself. But I did tell him the other day, I said, Keith, there is nothing in the world more motivating for a golfer than to spend a little time in the booth. I can promise you that. I go, your game is going to be so much better after doing TV for a week, because who the heck would want to do TV when you can actually go out there and compete against the best players in the world? But he's excited about it. I think his energy is going to be great. He knows the guys. He's a contemporary. And I think he's going to bring a lot of personality to the show. And the tap dancing part could take place, but we're really hoping, Smiley, as you know, each and every week with us, whether it's on NBC or Golf Channel, you know, timing matters, my man. I hope the timing is right.
Oh, I know that all too well. I think back to when I think it was Camilo was in the booth with you and Wyndham, and he had the mic, the headset. Yeah. The mic was all the way up at the top of his forehead, and there's that cool video of you just kind of inching it down. It's like, all right, buddy, I got you. You're good to go. You can start talking.
as you know, Smiley, and we got to spend a lot of time together on Sunday when Brad wasn't able to go, and you joined us in the booth, which was great. I'm a painfully casual guy, very easygoing, and sometimes that comes across in the wrong way. But hopefully in that instance, it came across in the correct way, just kind of helping our man Camilo.
Yeah, I got you.
We got you.
We got you, Rook. We got you, Rookie. We'll get you dialed in here.
By the way, he went and won, by the way, in the fall. So I reminded Keith of that. After he was in Greensboro with us, I said the same thing to him that I said to Keith. Nothing will motivate a golfer more than spending time with us on the dark side. And he goes out and wins in the fall, which was just an amazing moment.
I think it's just that perspective that it gives these guys that get in. They're like, oh, well, you know, everybody kind of hits it into the same spot. I think I'm a little too hard on myself in this. And you're right. I wouldn't be surprised, especially with Key's talent, to see him go out and have some success early on that West Coast. But looking at the teams here, Sanzi, I think it's kind of interesting because the dynamic still exists between Scotty and Rory, the two best players in the world. But also, I'm interested in this storyline with Luke Donald and Keegan Bradley, as they're, of course, they're not captains in this particular event, but they recently went up against each other in captaincy at the Ryder Cup. And, you know, Luke Donald seemingly has pulled every string the correct way for Europe in the last two Ryder Cups. Meanwhile, Keegan in captaincy in his first, top 15 player of the world, no doubt, could or should have been on that team and would have made a difference in that team winning. I don't know. But still, we've both read all the transcripts. We've had opportunity to speak with Keegan briefly. I think playing has helped him kind of get back into play mode versus still reliving the Ryder Cup a little bit. But still, anytime you get into an environment like this where it's a made-for-TV product, you know, like Rory, Shane, Luke Donald, there's going to be something that's said that I don't know if Keegan is quite over it to be able to just not say something back at him to be frustrated, right? Like, do you think it's quite gone yet?
There's no way. As well as we know Keegan, as competitive as Keegan is, as much as Keegan cares, there's no way he's over it just yet. You know that phrase, too soon? You know,
too soon.
It's too soon. Luke just turned 48 last weekend. He's won two Ryder Cups as a captain. He never lost as a player as far as a team aspect went from the European side. He's Mr. Ryder Cup over on the European side. I mean, literally the most successful player / captain in the history of the Ryder Cup. So, you know, Luke is playing with house money. Doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's a big smack talker.
No.
I would imagine that wouldn't have. They go about their business very, very differently. I mean, Luke is a very kind of chill dude, understated. Keegan's more energetic and is out there. But I would imagine if somebody decided to say something, say Rory, you know,
Shane's a fire plug,
you know, Shane, you know, who knows with Hao Tung Lee, you know, you never know with Hao Tung Lee. I think that I can imagine Keegan giving a little side eye, a little stink eye over there to what'd you just say kind of thing. Definitely too soon for Keegan. As far as Luke goes, Smiley, I saw Luke a few weeks ago. I mean, he all smiles. I mean, my gosh, he's walking on clouds right now, just basking in the glow of being a European hero. So what's the biggest decision he has to make is what he's going to buy his family for Christmas, and is he going to take the captaincy again in Ireland in 2 years?
That's a great question. And you know, the two guys at the top with Scotty and Rory, it's cool that these guys have an opportunity to be captains, as of course both of these guys will be future Ryder Cup captains down the line. But looking at their season, Steve, you know, we talk about Scotty, it seems like in every on camera, every opener, throughout the show, we're always constantly looking at history to compare Scotty to, whether it be Tiger Woods or the other best in the world to ever do it. And then Rory McIlroy having a season in which he completes the Grand Slam. It's kind of fun to end this season with two guys that really are in the top of the game and at the conversation of continuing to cement themselves in legacy. I think the European side with Rory, right? Like him winning the Grand Slam and the amount of success he's had on the DP World Tour, winning that championship however many times in the Race to Dubai. It's pretty cool that we're getting these guys in this environment. And I'm excited about next year too with these two.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Oh, it's going to be great. I mean, they're in the primes of their career. Rory has finally gotten that hump off his back after 11 Masters, you know, trying to win the career Grand Slam. He's only the sixth player to do it. And now here we are entering 2026. Jordan still has a chance. Nobody talks about him at the PGA Championship at Aronimink. He'll have another chance outside of Philadelphia to join that club. And then Scotty will be the odds-on favorite. And we were on the air the other day, Smiley. I did not know. Terry Gannon told us, Sunday, Father's Day, U.S. Open, Shinnecock, is Scotty's birthday.
Yep.
And he could become the seventh guy to win the career Grand Slam. Could be the eighth if Jordan wins the PGA 4 weeks before him. So between Scotty and Rory, Smiley, you know, they're such great players. They're so motivated. They're so focused on what they do. And I think that they will bring an entertainment value to the Optum Golf Channel games, but they'll also bring a lot of skill. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've always said to you before, one of the great things about you and all the other great PGA Tour players who have won before or who are still trying to win for the first time, you guys aren't just professional golfers. We learned this during COVID. You and I are huge sports fans. We talk about sports and family more than we ever talk about golf when we're together personally, having a few drinks or having dinner. Fans matter. Energy matters. And when we saw that during COVID and we saw sports being performed without the fans, there was a missing element to sports on all levels. And what these guys learn more than anything, in my opinion, is that they're not just professional golfers, they're performers. You guys go out there, you don't even realize it, Smiley. You guys go out there every week and you're showing off because you're so great at what you do to people who play the sport or just love the sport and are just in awe at watching the best players on the planet. So I think seeing Scotty and Rory mic'd up, showing some personality that they normally wouldn't show when they're focused on trying to win a PGA Tour event or a major championship, you know, with some skills. And like we talked about, a little bit of that big break element, it takes them out of their element a little bit. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see those two in particular, how they go about their business, the seriousness of competing, and also the joy of being able to just kind of let loose a little bit and have some fun.
We were laughing at the Hero World Challenge when Scotty's just absolutely mother effing himself, and we're like, this is
so great.
It's like, this guy just won how many times the last 2 years, and has this huge lead in the world ranking in the first, or I should say, in the OWGR, and he's first by a mile, and this guy still is just so competitive that it doesn't matter if it's considered to be a silly season event down in the Bahamas. This guy cares about every single shot, which made me think about, man, this could be just ping pong 4v4, and he's going to get fired up for it. He's a high competitive player. So is Rory. And it's a reason why he's the best in the world at what he does. And what I was going to ask you was, have you noticed a difference in how Scottie Scheffler has, I wouldn't say treated the media, but noticing any tendencies that remind you at all of Tiger Woods when he eventually, maybe from that 2000 year and beyond, where you started noticing Scotty and Tiger showing any similarities when it comes to media and how he's handled it?
For sure. I love that you asked that. For all those years when I was doing I was always in the booth, and then I would go down to the interviews for NBC. Mm. And now I'm just in the booth, not doing the interviews. But during that time, Smiley, that was the Tiger heyday. Rory was coming along. Phil was in his heyday. All these great, great players, coming around and hanging around. But at the top of that list was always Tiger. And one of the things I always used to say to people all the time is nobody handles his responsibility more of being the number one player in the world in the face of the game when he's competing than Tiger. I'm talking about when he gets out of his car until he gets into his car. And that includes the media obligations. That includes the TV, the podcast, the radio, the newspaper guys, all that kind of stuff. He knew that that was part of the job. Scotty understands that that's part of the job as well. He might not love it as much because every time he does anything, being who he is, it's going to either be scrutinized, criticized, or praised, but however it is, it's always going to be on. And that's what comes with the territory of being such a great player. And the one similarity I will give you between the two of them, which I find so fascinating, and I absolutely love it, they do not play fools. If you don't ask a good question, they will let you know, not in a rude way, not in an abrasive way, but they'll just let you know that they are giving you excellence and they demand excellence from you. Mm. And I love that. They understand that the cameramen, the audio people, the writers, the TV people, everybody involved, this is the highest level of sports. This is network television. This is national TV, worldwide, global audience. These are the best people on and off the air. And the writers are included in that. Those people are the best golf writers in the world. And if they don't ask a good question, or if a TV person doesn't ask a question that Scotty thinks is a smart question or a good question, he is not afraid, Smiley. Oh, what do we have here? I love it.
Hey, Anna Carter. Say hey to Stevie.
Anna Carter, how are you? You look like a brand new older sister right now. I can promise you that.
Say hey, Stevie.
All right, how are you, sweetheart?
Okay.
Great to see you. I'll see you in Hilton Head. We'll get some tacos together in Hilton Head.
Oh my gosh, how good was that? Baby. What was the name of that joint?
Oh man, I wish I knew. Oh, what is the name of that one?
They got a coffee and tacos.
Oh man, it was so good. But anyway, so Scotty, I love that Scotty will let someone know if he doesn't think the question is that great. And not in a rude way, but he'll do it, Smiley, in a congenial way that he basically is saying to you, come on, man, really? Like, that's not good enough. That's not smart enough. We're better than that. And I love that. And Tiger was the same way. It's a fantastic way to be.
Do you think it's the job of the top players in the world to have an opinion on whether it's growing the game or just general opinions that fans are looking for answers for the top players? I think Rory, for the most part, has kept an open mind and always tried to speak his heart and what he feels about things, where I find Scotty to be much more in the business like of, hey, just ask me about the tournament this week, where Rory's maybe on the other side of the coin, where I think the press have probably felt a little bit more, I would say that they would ask Rory and they feel like they would get an answer back, where maybe with Scotty, it's like, hey, you might not get a whole lot back from this.
I think it's incumbent upon the media to understand the athlete. I think that, you know, I have a phrase, I say it to my sons all the time, you know, you got to know your audience. You know, that's sports TV. You got to know your audience, got to know your audience. So, you know, Tiger used to say to me all the time off camera, I'm getting asked questions from the Masters to Nelson Mandela. Like, I'm getting political questions. I'm getting social questions. I'm getting sports questions. I'm getting asked my opinion on the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden golf comes in to the middle as well. Tiger understood it, knew it, and handled it well. McIlroy, Mickelson was kind of like that as well. McIlroy was the next one in that category. And he, very bright, understood it, knew the deal, and would give, you know, good answers in that regard, and would also have some worldly opinions. Scotty is brand new to this. Remember, Smiley, he just won less than 4 years ago was his first ever win. First win was less than 4 years ago. So you're talking about the 2022 WM, you know, Phoenix Open. So he's kind of new at this, although obviously he's grown up before the world in these last 4 years, these spectacular 4 years that he's had. He knows what he knows what he's thinking. He's not afraid to give an opinion. He's more so interested in giving opinions on golf,
right,
and all the things going on in the world of golf. But as he continues, I can promise you this, Smiley, whether it was you or Scotty or anybody else, if you go on a run that Scotty's on and you're going to get into that different stratosphere, into Rory's stratosphere, into Tiger's stratosphere, you're going to get asked everything. I remember your guy from LSU, David Toms, told me years ago, he won the PGA Championship in Atlanta. All right. And he was asked, I don't know, like 2 months later, he was asked by writers about something that was going on in the world that had nothing to do with golf. That afternoon, I was talking to him. We were walking the fairways, and he was looking at me. He goes, so because you win a major, does that mean you get asked all these different things outside of the world of golf? And I said, yep. I said, once you reach a certain stratosphere in sports, that gets you beyond getting asked questions about just your sport or any sport. And Scotty is certainly in the throes of that. I am a firm believer that fans want to hear from their favorite athletes. They also want to hear from their athletes who they don't particularly care for as well. You know, whether you were Jack or Arnie, whether you were Tiger or Phil, that kind of thing. And I think people just like to hear from you guys. And the best of them all, they understand that. And Scotty certainly understands that.
What golfer do you think has handled the media the best? If you had to put somebody at the very top of somebody you're like, man, I got a lot of respect for how they were able to handle not only just the general questions of golf, but also the tiptoeing the line of the political answers of being very sharp and giving good, thoughtful, honest answers, but also, you know, not toeing the line the wrong way.
Yeah. I used to joke with Tiger all the time, you know, it's okay to tell them, you know, what you had for dinner last night, but you don't have to tell them where you ate. You know, I used to tell Tiger that all the time. I think of today's players, of today's stars, if you go back in time, nobody was better with the media than Jack and Arnie. Nobody, nobody. They understood you want them on your side. You don't want to give them everything, but you want to give them enough that they're going to give you a pass if you have a hiccup, you know, here or there down the road. I think the best players understand that. Today's players, look, you know, Scotty's always accessible, but he doesn't give you as much per se as, say, a Jordan Spieth. Mm-hmm. I think Jordan Spieth, to me, and Justin Thomas are the two who give the most and aren't afraid. Now, that doesn't mean Scotty doesn't give enough. That doesn't mean Rory doesn't give enough. I just mean, if you're going to take the combination of great player, Hall of Fame kind of player, and success on the golf course regularly, getting interviewed regularly and not being afraid to give your opinion and not just about whether we need to roll the ball back. I would say Jordan Spieth right now. I think Justin has grown into that role here in the last few years. But I think Jordan Spieth has handled that amongst the players today in that stratosphere better than anybody.
Okay, last question for you, Stevie. As we kind of head towards a potential of a 20 to 25 event season, are you concerned at all about that, on how that potentially could work out for the PGA Tour long term? Or do you think that's a model in which you could see working? Because it's definitely not the old school traditional model of golf on every week and having a bunch of guys having opportunities.
No, it's different for sure. You know, for for the purposes of the conversation, Smiley, I'm here in Naples, Florida at the Grant Thornton Invitational. I just spent about 6 hours on the golf course talking to every player in the field. That's the men and the women, the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour, and that's all anybody was talking about. The executives, the tournament organizers, the sponsors, and all the players and all the caddies, that is all anybody is talking about. Here's my opinion. Before LIV came around, before COVID hit, so let's say all the way up to the players of 2020, was the model broken? Were things bad? Were things going pretty well? Fully sponsored tour, everybody's playing for a lot of money, everybody's doing great. TV was happy. Players are happy. Sponsors are happy. I don't know. I think the LIV thing upended things for sure. It wasn't handled great. Some things were handled well. Some things were handled poorly. But overall, it wasn't handled great. I would say that's pretty fair to say. And moving forward, before you go and blow up the whole model, Smiley, I'm a big believer in sports. And I know you big, bad, go Tiger LSU fans don't care about anybody else because you have the best program in America and now you've got your coach and you're all happy. But there has to be a David and Goliath in sports. There has to be. Now, does it have to be Tulane, Ole Miss, and JMU in Oregon? No. But in this particular sport, you got to have Bob May at Valhalla. You've got to have Y.E. Yang at Hazeltine. Mm-hmm. You've got to have up-and-comers like Bubba Watson slinging it all over the place. You've got to have a rookie like Jordan, a young kid like Jordan Spieth at 21, Smiley Kaufman in the final group with Bubba at Augusta. You've got to have that to go along with the stars. And I'll give you a great example. We both work for NBC. Who wouldn't want to have the Chiefs and Cowboys and get $57 million every single Sunday night? Well, you and I watch every single Sunday night. But after a while, when you see the same people, well, that's not necessarily the greatest. And in team sports, if you saw the same teams every week, that wouldn't be the greatest thing. And I'll give you one last point on the truncated part of the schedule and the scarcity, which is the word we keep hearing all the time, of the PGA Tour calendar. Careful what you wish for. If you drop this thing down to 20 events, and then you've got the four majors and the players, but 20 regular season tour events, hypothetically. Well, for the next couple of years, Scotty and Rory are going to win half those events. Scotty's going to win 6 or 7 times. Rory's going to win 3 or 4 times, or a combination of the two. And if they win half the events, look, again, you and I are huge sports fans. When we watch the NBA and we watch the NFL, we know those draft picks coming in because we've seen them play college basketball and we've seen them play college football. They're household names. Golf's not like that. Nobody ever heard of Scottie Scheffler until he was on that Ryder Cup team in 21, and then he got his first win in Scottsdale in 22. Nobody ever heard of Ludwig Oberg at Texas Tech. Nobody ever heard of any of these guys who have been great, except for a guy like Tiger. But that's it. And it doesn't just take coming out on the PGA Tour, Smiley. It takes wins. So if Scottie and Rory are going to eat up half the wins in 2027 and beyond because there's such a small schedule, where does that leave room for guys to come on tour and not just become household names, but become stars, become marketable? You've got to win on the PGA Tour to become a star and become marketable. This is not football and basketball. So I think they need to be careful in that regard as well. So do I like it? No. Is it going to go that way? Sure seems like it, but I'm not so sure that everybody's on board with every single thing that takes place with only a 20-event schedule as opposed to 46.
What were the players saying out at the course? Were they in agreement or disagreement?
They were less than enthused, let's put it that way.
All right, well,
they want opportunities. You know, like, look, again, if you're playing in the Grant Thornton Invitational, you are not Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. You've had a very good year. You're a very good player, but you're not Rory McIlroy or Scottie Scheffler. You got to have places to play. You got to have events to play. You've got to have a chance to win. And by the way, finishing 2nd through 10th is great. It's great for your wallet and it's nice for your lifestyle, but you're out here to win. And the stars are the ones who win. And you've got to be careful how many opportunities you allow. Jake Knapp is here. He's the defending champion, okay? That kid could be a star. Looks like Fred Couples, acts like Fred Couples, swings like Fred Couples, needs a big win, all right? He's got to have the opportunity to get that big win. If they're eaten up by today's stars just yet, and those guys are kind of pushed down to the side, I'm not so sure that that's the most that's not the healthiest thing for golf at the highest level.
Yeah, these young guys need starts. They need volume, opportunities to go and win golf tournaments, because that's what feeds confidence is winning.
100%.
I agree with it all. We literally just recorded the other day and had the same conversation. And for the most part, we made similar points. So I agree with you on most of it. And definitely something we're going to have to keep an eye on, Stevie.
It's interesting.
We're going to keep an eye on it.
For sure. It's going to be interesting. I mean, I just hope we're still around, Smiley. I hope they keep letting TV do its thing. You know?
Well, Stevie, I appreciate you coming on, man. We're definitely excited about the Golf Channel games next week. It's going to be next Wednesday, the 16th. Is that
17th?
17th. There we go.
17th.
16th is the rehearsals. It's under the lights.
Yes.
Late night. Stevie's going to be on the call with Keith. I'm going to be down on the ground. So make sure you go check it out. And Stevie, thanks for coming on, buddy. I appreciate it. We're definitely going to need more Stevie Sands on this podcast. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you, buddy.
Anytime for you, Smiley. Congratulations on the new baby as well. And one last thing. Now that LSU is no longer in the playoffs, who are we rooting for? Come on. Hoosiers, baby.
Gosh.
Oh, IU. Hoosiers. Scott Sands, a big Smiley Kaufman fan right now.
I tell you what, I was so proud of that boy putting a money line ticket down on that sports book. It's you don't see that a lot at a young kids. A lot of times they take the points because they're scared to take money line. But that's when I knew he had a little Stevie in him.
You can't play scared, Smiley. You know that, though.
That's right. That's right. All right. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Be good.
All right, we thank you to Stevie Sands for coming on the podcast. A lot of fun talking Golf Channel games with him next week. The only thing that we missed this week was talking about some LIV potential signings that didn't happen. There was a rumor of Siwoo Kim and Sung JM heading to the LIV Golf Tour. That has been debunked. Those two guys allegedly are going to be staying on the PGA Tour. So excited to see those guys play next year and potentially at the President's Cup. As we look to future episodes, we're going to have some TGL previews this coming week with some guests. That first match is December 28th, so coming very quickly. So excited to get some previews there, and looking forward to talking to some guests next week. So we'll see you guys soon.
You know, I listen to this podcast. It's really cool. And
all of our first lovely time. Fans and subscribers, but make sure you like and subscribe.
It's cool to see what you guys are doing. I know golf fans appreciate it, but we do too. So please keep it up.
For all the good people of YouTube, like and subscribe.
You guys have some good takes, so I'm happy to come on and shoot the.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell, fast, to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.